Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Agyananjaya Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manamapishati Putram Atra Surupam Rupam Tasyagraja Murupurim Maturim Bhushavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatas Vande Hum Shri Guru Shri Atath Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagriyatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuing, considering the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which He has remained the object of veneration and love by His devotees, and particularly this Vishnu Sahasranam has been recited by innumerable devotees since time immemorial, especially since the last 5,000 years. After it was spoken by Bhishma Dev to Yudhishthira. So today I have to start at name 96, but I'll just backtrack a bit to some of the names, two of the names I was speaking about just previously. Some further thoughts about that. One name, Vyala. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning that he is the dear, meaning for this that he is the dear friend of Radha, Taraka and Pali. Taraka and Pali are principal gopis who we don't hear so much about, but he doesn't give any further commentary on that or how the name is derived. The general meaning of Vyala is something very dangerous, difficult to get a hold of, like a snake or a wild elephant. So, for the non-devotees, he is very difficult to grasp. And very dangerous also. When the non-devotees try to understand Krishna, they simply get bitten or trampled by him. It's better for a non-devotee not to know about Krishna than for a demon to try to understand him, because the demon simply makes offenses. Of course, in one perspective, somehow or other, if one comes in contact with Krishna, one is benefited. But on the other hand, those who are demons, like Mayavadis, or people who want to use Krishna to further their demoniac motivations, they think Krishna's that Prahlad Nanamaraj was mentioning this morning also, that they think he's a tribal god. They write PhD theses in which they make very wrong and very wrong understandings of who is Krishna, and they attempt to insult him. So just like a snake, if you don't go near it, it's better for you. So Krishna is like a black snake to the demons who They think they can control him. They think that they can insult him. But it's very dangerous for them. So better they don't go close to him. Then another name, a Sarva Darshan. He cannot at all be grasped by the non-devotees, and they simply invite their own destruction by attempting to approach him. He reveals himself, everything about himself, his forms, qualities, names, pastimes, to the devotees. Another meaning of Sarva Darshan, because he sees everything, means he perceives and understands everything, means he knows everything also. So that's an addenda for Viala and Sarva Darshana. The name 96, Aja, which means unborn. This is a very important word which comes up in Bhagavad Gita. First of all, to describe the jiva as being unborn. After Krishna has described the jiva, ajo nitya shashvato ayang puranaha, he is unborn. He has all the attributes of being unborn. Later, Krishna says to Arjuna that you and I have both of us had many births. So all of this has to be understood very carefully. Bahuni mevya titani janmani tavacharjuna. Tani hang veda sarvani natvang veda parantapa. Both you and I have had many births. I know all of them. You don't. Even though you are parantapa, you can conquer the enemies. You're a very powerful person. The scorcher of the enemies, but you're not me. I'm Bhagawan. You are not. So this is Krishna's answer to Arjuna's question. Arjuna questions Krishna. Krishna says to Arjuna in a matter-of-fact way that I spoke this knowledge previously to the sun god, and he spoke it Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavana Hamavyayam. So the knowledge, that's another important, this knowledge is avyaya, it doesn't deteriorate, but it's become destroyed. So all these points have to be understood very carefully. What's destroyed? Not the knowledge, because it's avyaya, it's indestructible. But the proper understanding of it has become destroyed. So imam vivasvate yogam proktavana hamavyam vivasvan manave prahar manurikshvakave bravit. So this knowledge, I spoke to Vivasvan, who spoke to Manu, who spoke to Ikshvaku, Evam, in this way, it came down in parampara, now it is lost, now it is spoiled. So Arjuna says, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? You're the same age as me. How could you have spoken it to Vivasvan, who spoke it to Manu, who spoke it to Ikshvaku? So then Krishna says that both you and I have had many births. Now, prior to this, he said, I am unborn. No, just after that. No, then he'll explain. Ajo pisan avyayat ma bhutanam ishvaro pisan prakritim swamadishtaya sambhavami atmamayaya. I am unborn, but I appear by my own desire, out of my mercy. So this important point. Then janma karma cha me divyam evang yoveti tadvata tyaktva dehang puna janma naitimam iti sojana. One who, Krishna says, understands the transcendental nature of my janma, even though I have no janma, it's my birth, he also becomes Aja. Then he attains the status of having no more births because he goes to me and doesn't come back. So, Krishna is unborn, yet we're preparing for Janmashtami. Janma means birth. So it seems like an impossible contradiction. Therefore, Krishna says, one who understands that the divyam, the transcendental nature of this, he does not get born again. And Krishna, it's not like he's unknowingly contradicting himself, just like sometimes politicians are caught out. They'll show some clip on the TV of the politician saying something in one speech, and then 2 months later, in another speech, maybe unknown to himself, contradicting himself. He forgot what he said previously. Or in a court case, something like that. The judge will catch out the defendant. But right after saying that I am unborn, Krishna says, one who understands the transcendental nature of my birth. So it's not that Krishna's just trying to make some political speech here and fool everyone. Clearly there's something unusual going on, which is to be expected because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not an ordinary person. If he was just an ordinary person like you or me, then there'd be no point in celebrating Janmashtami or doing anything else in relation to Krishna. And that's why the demons, they want to pull Krishna down to their level and try to show that he is just an ordinary person. There's nothing special about him, or maybe he doesn't even exist at all. Because if there's nothing particular special about him, then why should we worship him? And that's why we discuss the qualities of Krishna, that he is special. He is special not just in the manner that some Olympic runner might be special, a little bit better than, or he can run faster than any of us, or anyone else in the world, presumably. But Krishna is eternally special in a manner that is incomparable, insurpassable, unmatchable. So, Krishna is unborn, but he appears to be born, or he allows himself to be born, or has the appearance of birth, out of mercy to his devotees, and to perform pastimes. This understanding of what is lila, this is essential to understand Krishna. What is lila? Lila is Krishna's appearance in this world out of his own desire. In doing so, he benefits the whole world, and especially the devotees. And he enacts pastimes for his own pleasure. He is the central object of all pleasure. But even though everything is meant for his pleasure, and his devotees do everything for his pleasure, and they offer him nice food, nice clothes, they sing nicely for him and do so many pleasing things for Krishna. But Krishna's real pleasure, his greatest pleasure, is in pleasing his devotees. So all this, without understanding this properly, who is Krishna, why he appears in this world as lila, as his own pastimes, then everything will be misunderstood. So it's a very great science. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, the science of the topic of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which has to be understood very carefully. Otherwise, we see in some religious systems, they have absolutely no knowledge of this whatsoever. And they don't even want to touch it. They don't even want to start talking about it. And they can't even imagine to talk about it. Their theology is zero, practically, bankrupt. They have nothing to say about... they have some strange ideas of trans... What is it? Transubstantiation. What's that word? Changing the Eucharist. The Eucharist becomes the body of transubstantiation or some fancy word they have, which doesn't really explain anything. It's just, they say the bread or the wafer of bread has turned into Jesus and then you eat him. That's called the communion. In the priest blesses it and then that becomes the body of Jesus and then you eat it. There's no transcendental science there. You're supposed to believe all this stuff. That you all become transcendental or spiritual cannibals. And if you do that, then you go to live with Jesus. Whatever advantage may be there is not very clear. Whereas everyone else goes to hell. So there's just some dogma, but no transcendental science. But these points have to be understood very, very clearly. What is the nature of spirit? What is the matter of nature of matter? What is the nature of the Supreme Spirit? What is Leela? This point, to be understood, if it's not understood properly, then it's misunderstood. And in the name of people call the Mayavadis, they call whatever they may be thinking of doing, it's all Leela to them because they think the Jiva and Bhagavan are all the same. And when you realize that you are Bhagavan, then everything you do is all Leela, and even the hog rolling in the stool, that is the Leela of Bhagavan. So they become very offensive in this way. And the Sahajiyas, they think we will imitate the pastimes of Krishna. And in this way, we will become immersed in the bliss of Krishna Leela. But it's all offensive. That's why it is essential to understand the Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, the science of the nature of God. Otherwise, if we get it wrong, then we in the name of Krishna consciousness or the name of bhakti, we may make serious offenses. So it's not, although this discussion of the names of Vishnu, it may sound very technical, and it's very philosophical. But it is essential to understand. It's not what we might call entertaining, but it is this: how Krishna is Aja, how he is unborn, yet he appears within this world. He appears to be born. He is known as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. He is known as the son of Nanda and Yashoda. Also, how is that possible? How can he be the son of both? He is known as the son of Kashyap and Aditi, Drona and Dhara, as the son of Dasharath and Kaushalya. So how is this, or the sons of Dasharath by Kaushalya, Kaikeyi, Sumitra? So how is this possible if he is unborn? So devotees have to understand all these points through the explanations of the Vaishnava Acharyas. Another meaning of the of Aja, the word can be explained in various ways. Oh yeah, then another point there is that the jiva is also described as aja. But there's a difference. There is a very great difference because the jiva undergoes births due to his embracing of forgetfulness of Krishna or his deliberate forgetfulness of Krishna. And Krishna takes birth due to his remembrance of the jivas, out of compassion for them, out of his own desire. Sambhavami atma mayaya, out of my mercy upon the devotees. Krishna appears in this world. So how he is Ajahn, how the jiva is Ajahn, how they are different, the difference between his appearing out of his desire. Not that he is born as we are born. We don't know, why did I get this particular body? Born in a particular place. Why did I get this particular matrix, which is this body that I've got with the particular karmic results imputed to it? It's not within our control. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papatye. Under the guidance of the Supreme Lord and of the demigods, according to previous activities, and although it's not mentioned here, according to previous desires also, karmana daiva netrena, we get, the jiva gets a particular body. But Krishna's appearance is completely different. We didn't choose our father and mother. Oh, they look pretty good. Okay, let's try that one out. We didn't choose. But Krishna, he sends his devotees into this world ahead of him to facilitate his appearance. It's all orchestrated. Lila Srila Prabhupada describes that it's like a drama. All the parts, it's all set up by Krishna's internal potency. So it unfolds in a similar way. Same script each time. But at the same, as in a good drama, it's always fresh. So Krishna's pastimes are always fresh. Narottama Dasa koi nitya lila sukhamoy. His eternal pastimes are always full of happiness. Now, another meaning of the name Aja, even though it's only, with the Visarga becomes Aja, Ha, four syllables, removing the vowel and the Visarga, it's only one syllable, Aj. So if you take it to the root aj, it's very short, but that means, another meaning of that is movement or throwing. So this gives a very different, understanding, which is also completely applicable. He who removes obstacles, the remover of obstacles, for to ensure that his devotees, they can come to him. So we pray especially to Nrisimhadev as Bhakti Vigna Vinashana, he who removes the obstacles on the path of bhakti. Sometimes, I don't know where it came from, but devotees call out Sarva Vigna Vinashana Bhagavan Nrsimhadev, which in one sense is true, but the which means the remover of all obstacles. But the task or the service of removing obstacles to material progress has been delegated to Ganesh. And so generally Ganesh is known as the remover of obstacles on the path of material progress by keeping his head at the feet of Nrsimhadev, we're informed from Sri Brahma Sanghita. And Nrsimhadev, he is specifically concerned with the devotees, removing the obstacles on the path of bhakti. So we'll find in the Sri Vaishnav commentary on Vishnu Sahasranama repeatedly where the names of Vishnu could be interpreted to mean, in a very broad sense, he specifically, the commentator specifically interprets it in the sense of the devotee. Just like the word, the name Prajapati, that's already come up. Prajapati means the Lord of all those, of the Praja, those that, which generally means those who are born. The Lord of everyone can mean. But he takes this to mean, this prefix to mean in a special way, and then he takes this to mean the Lord of the devotees. So it, generally Prajapati is taken to mean the Lord of everyone, but especially the Sri Vaishnav commentator, he takes this to mean the Lord of the devotees in particular. So Nrsimhadev is the remover of the obstacles. In one sense, you can say all obstacles, but really Nrsimhadev, he's not concerned with, you know, the people's petty material desires and removing their obstacles so that they can fulfill their material desire. Nrsimha is not concerned with that, nor do the devotees want to involve him in such things. So here Vishnu is described as the remover of obstacles, particularly that the devotees can accomplish their objective of reaching him. So what are the obstacles? Well, karma, shayan, the desires for... Thank you, Hare Krishna. But I'll just put it there, otherwise I might knock it down. desires for material desires. Those are the obstacles that stand between us and between us and the goal of reaching Vishnu. So Nrsimhadev, we pray to him to remove those obstacles, to rip them out. Another meaning, who moves? He moves into the heart of his devotees. Devotees pray that, please sit in my heart. Gopinath, that song of Bhaktivinoda, Hridaye Boshe Mor, please sit in my heart. Of course, he's there in the heart. That will be coming up soon. The name Vasu, the one who resides in the heart of the devotees. So he's there in the heart, but we wish him to manifest just like that. There's also in Bhagavatam, there's a, what is that? Vishate Bhagavan Hridi. For one who is always hearing Bhagavatam very carefully. Shrinvatam Shrataya Nityam Grinartas Chat Svacheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. For one who is always hearing Srimad Bhagavatam very attentively and trying to understand the subject matter, for such a person, within a short time, Bhagavan will enter his heart. So Bhagavan's already in the heart. But he will manifest himself there. So, for one who tries to become Krishna conscious, Krishna moves towards him, as Srila Prabhupada used to say. If we take one step toward Krishna, Krishna will take 10 steps toward us. He's more anxious to deliver us than even we are to come to him. Another meaning, he throws. So he throws his Sudarshan Chakra at anyone who gives any trouble to his devotees. Of course, the devotee doesn't think that this person insulted me. Okay, Krishna, throw your Sudarshan Chakra, chop his head off. He doesn't. We see Ambarish Maharaj, he didn't pray for the intervention of Vishnu when Durvasa wanted to kill him. So for such a devotee who is completely selfless, then Krishna, he protects such a devotee in all respects. Another meaning is, he who is known by the letter A in the English alphabet. The first letter is A. In your alphabet also? Probably. It's probably the same. Is it A, B, C, or the A? A, yeah. In Sanskrit, it's A, A. And in yours, it's A. A, yeah. That's the second letter. A, A. So, that's the first syllable. Aksharanam akarosmi. Among all the aksharas, the syllables, Krishna says, I am the first one. A, aka. By which any, without which any other sound cannot be pronounced. All the consonants, you can't pronounce a consonant without a vowel. And a is the basic vowel. Anyone want to try that? The first consonant in Sanskrit alphabet is k. Can you pronounce it without a vowel? Is it possible? It's not possible. You either before or after, just like you can say uk, uk, or k, but you can't pronounce it without a vowel. So the vowels, they come first. And the first is a. It seems that's widely in any language that a is first. So Krishna is the first. Aksharanam akarosmi. Now, another understanding of that is, yeah, so that means even to think of anything, express anything, understand anything, language is needed. And in language, the essential point or the beginning point is that is Krishna. Krishna is the basis of everything. Well, by Krishna saying that I am the syllable that means he's the beginning or the basis of everything. That means he's also. But it also means he's the beginning and the basis of everything. In your alphabet also, Tamil? Really, they have the same I thought they might start at the other end just to be different. It also, same, is it? A-A-E-E, all that stuff. Gets a little different later on. G-K-A, all gets mixed up. Gug, gug, ka, pa, gug, ka, ha. All gets mixed up, right? Pa, ba. And how many la, and ra. Something like that. So. They say it came from Lord Shiva. Tamil. Ancient language. Which is best used in the service of Lord Vishnu by praising him with the Divya Prabandhas. That's the best thing in all the Tamil language. Did you meet Divya Prabandha Prabhu? He's one of the two main organizers here. So that is the... That is the best work in the whole Tamil language, although not everyone will agree to that. But those who are Vaishnavas, they will accept that. Otherwise, what's that? That Tirukoil, something like that? Tirukoval, yeah, that's supposed to be the most famous thing. So, whatever it is, whatever language, is required. If you take the vowels out, everything becomes ununderstandable and unpronounceable. That's why we're told they write in the Bible the name of Jehovah, but it's written without any vowels, so no one's really sure how it's written. Because it's so, they have just the opposite concept, and the name of God is so sacred no one should ever pronounce it. That's one tradition. They say like that. But in the Vaishnava tradition we say the name of God is so munificent, we should always pronounce it. We shouldn't, our only purpose is to glorify Him. So we should always pronounce the name of Krishna. So, he is a. Aja means he is a. Which also, that indicates that he's also everything else in the alphabet. Which, and whatever is to be described, whatever is to be thought of, whatever is describable, that is all describable by language. And that is Krishna. And if you say something indescribable, then you come to Om, which is beyond all description. And that's also Krishna. So everything describable and indescribable, that is Krishna. Another meaning of Aja, and there may be hundreds of meanings for each name. I'm just taking some points from the acharyas, is a sunbeam. A sunbeam. A sunbeam. Sometimes like that, a window, or the shutter is closed and just a shaft of light comes into the room and lights it. So Krishna is like that. The light in the darkness. That which, within the darkness, that which, have you been in a dark room with just a tiny, there's just like a chink. A chink of, like a crack in the wooden shutter. You must have that here in your country. Wooden blinds. Yeah. And the whole room is dark, but there's a little, tiny little speck of some hole in the wood. And that little speck, and the light is shining, the sun is shining so brightly outside, and that little, tiny little speck lights up the whole room. So a little bit of light dispels a great amount of darkness. So Krishna is like that. Sunbeam. Name 97. Sarveshvara. Tumi Sarveshvareshvara. Rajendra Kumar. Well, the obvious meaning of this name is that he is the controller of all controllers. There are many Ishvaras. Almost every jiva has some control over some other jiva. Or we can say many jivas have control over others. Within a family, the parents, they're supposed to control the children. People don't have children, they like to keep a dog. People like dogs because one reason people like dogs is because dogs like to accept a subservient position and be controlled. So people have a sense of being a controller. So there are various levels of controllers. And particularly those who are great personalities within the universe. The demigods, they are known as controllers. But whatever the controller they may be, the controller of all controllers is Vishnu. So that's an easy one to understand. The controller of all. When we're speaking of God, means the controller of all controllers. When we come to one who controls even the great personalities, who are controlling others, and who is not controlled by anyone else, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we find that someone is controlled by someone else, he cannot be the personality of Godhead. Cannot be the supreme. Of course, this is Vishnu Sahasranam, and when we come to consider Krishna, then he's also controlled. Controlled by the love of his devotees. His devotees, they appear to control him. And That's true, but that control of Krishna does not dilute or nullify his position as the Supreme Personality of God. He's still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's still the controller of all the worlds. And even in his pastimes, although he is under the control of his devotees, but he doesn't cease to be the controller of all the worlds, and nor do the devotees who are just like when Krishna is in his baby form or Bal Leela, he's just as a child, and the elderly gopis, they sing and dance, and they sing and clap, and Krishna dances just like some ordinary young boy. That doesn't, so Krishna is, he responds to the singing and dancing of these village women, as it appears, as just an ordinary baby. So it may seem that he is controlled, and in one, certainly he is controlled in one, he's controlled by their love. But on the other hand, he never ceases to be the controller of all that be. And even within his pastimes, they're all set up for his pleasure. He remains the center. Of course, that is arguable. There are those who will say that the center is Radha. But that's a very secret topic. And of course, Radha and Krishna are inseparable. Radha exists for Krishna. That is the philosophical understanding established in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita also, that everyone is this Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabhabhritya. Krishna is the only controller and all others are his servants. And in the philosophical analysis there, it's shown that Radha, which means she who worships him the best, so she's also philosophically understanding, she also serves him. Although in terms of rasa, if we ever, we should go that high, we have to go there step by step, then all these philosophical understandings may be left behind or suspended, and some devotees see Radha as supreme. But that's a topic of rasa vichar, of study according to the topics beyond philosophy, but we're discussing philosophy here. Tattva-jnana, the Sanskrit word is better to use because the English words have so much baggage with them. Philosophy in the Western world means all kinds of speculations, but tattva-jnana means to ascertain the nature of reality. It's not speculation. It's a completely different understanding, actually. The tattva-jnana is translated as philosophy. But what Western philosophy has come to mean, various people's speculations, is just the opposite of the import of tattva-jnana, which means to know the nature of reality. Maybe philosophy in the West started out like that also. So, the controller of all controllers, Brahma, Indra, Shiva, they're all subordinate to Vishnu. Now, another meaning, which is, the same name, but another different meaning, completely, not completely different, because all these features of the Supreme Lord, they all coalesce within him. Only the other meaning is one who reaches all who seek him. So that is the nature of Vishnu. So it's not completely different, because such qualities as being the supreme controller of all controllers and one who reaches all those who seek him, such qualities only exist in Vishnu. But they're So in one sense, they're not different because they're only manifest in the same person. But at the same time, they are very different features among the innumerable features that make up the personality of Godhead. What is his personality? So he reaches all who seek him. Those who take refuge in him. He tries to deliver them. That this is Sri Vaishnava Tengalai understanding. That those who try to take shelter in him, he very quickly delivers them. Overlooking their qualification, disqualification, whether they're qualified or not qualified, he makes the fact that they take shelter in him, that is enough for him. He's come to me, all right, let him come. All disqualifications forgotten. Whatever other disqualifications may be there, let him come. Krishna brings him. Not let him come, Krishna brings him. Apichet sudura charo bhajate mamananya bhak sadhureva samantavya. He may have so many disqualifications, but he's worshipping me wholeheartedly. Must be considered a sadhu. Must be considered a properly situated person. The famous example is given of Rama's acceptance of Vibhishana, who had the disqualification of coming from the enemy camp. And as was rightly pointed out, rightly means from the, you know, if you study military science, or even if you don't understand, study military science, it should be an obvious thing to understand that someone who comes from the enemy camp with professing allegiance to you is very likely to be a double agent. How can you trust him? Can be very dangerous, right? He says, yes, now I'm leaving my previous party and I'm joining you. How can you trust him? He's just saying that. He's all this time he's been with the enemy party, and now he just says that he's come to you, but how do you know? I mean, with your own men or monkeys, they've been with you, they're tried, tested, and proved that they've given their life for you, they've risked their life, so they're quite trustworthy. But someone who just comes and says, okay, now I'm with you. But Rama said, no, I'm taking him. He's come to me, I'm taking him. I accept him. If he's any sincerity in his coming to me, I accept him, despite all disqualifications. Of course, Vibhishana was shown to be most qualified as a great devotee. But that is Krishna's qualification. Again, as was just mentioned, if someone makes a little move toward Krishna, Krishna makes all effort to pull them. He comes. We're trying to struggle up to come toward him. We're not making it, so he comes running to us and pulls us up. Okay, come. On the back of Garuda, he comes. You're not going up faster. Okay, come. And pulls us up. That is the promise. So that's another meaning of the word Sarveshvara. Okay, so that's all. For now, any questions on this? No, all right. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
A quick question?
Yeah, okay, please ask it.
Često čujemo da proces svjesnosti Krišne i brahmansku kulturu treba prilagoditi i primijeniti u skladu sa uslovima na zapadu.
Often we hear that the process of Krishna consciousness and Brahmanical culture, we should adjust to the Western, and then you made some gesture because it's difficult to find a word. Sometimes it's called Western culture, but I personally feel the word culture is misplaced in relationship to the, we can say the way, lifestyle, way of life. You better ask the question quickly, otherwise we're going to have it resolved by chanting Hare Krishna, which is the answer to all questions. But
koliko je to može biti štetno,
you want to have more understanding.
Koliko to može biti štetno po procesu svjesnosti Krišne ako nešto nije izvorno i vjerodostojno i promijenjeno.
How dangerous can it be if something is not original, if it's changed? The whole art is to keep the essence, external manifestations may change, but the essence has to be there. What's more important to, who's better situated? Someone who speaks Sanskrit perfectly, wears a dhoti, and has no inclination toward Krishna, or someone who wears jeans and doesn't know a word of Sanskrit? Well, you have to know some Sanskrit, I guess. If you hear Bhagavad Gita, you hear a few words, not proficient in Sanskrit, and has deep love for Krishna. Well, a good example is Jayananda Prabhu, who Srila Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada attempted to teach Jayananda Prabhu the Gayatri Mantras, Prabhupada roared in laughter at his mispronunciation. Or another example is Jar Bharat, who was externally Jar, means dull and uncultured, but he was a great devotee. So the Vedic culture is meant to help to lead us to Krishna, but if we have Vedic culture without Krishna consciousness, then it's all useless. Shrama eva hi kevalam. And if we have, and we don't have Vedic culture, we have Krishna consciousness, that's perfect. But Vedic culture is meant to lead us to Krishna, whereas Western culture, although it's not particularly defined, it generally leads everyone to hell, because what Vedic, Western or materialistic culture, what the average person does in one day is enough to get him admitted into hell for a very long time, even without knowing. So obviously one culture is more favorable, significantly more favorable for Krishna consciousness. One manifestation of that is that we see among those people even today who are raised with even the leftovers of Vedic culture, namely the Hindus of the world, for want of a better word, they're generally more open to take to Krishna consciousness than the average person born in the West, in which Krishna consciousness is not part of their culture. There are many aspects, just as you were saying to me yesterday, that in the West, even the devotees, they have no culture in the matter of men and women. They just go up to each other and start joking with each other without even thinking there's anything wrong with it, but it is. I mean, even in, you know, a relatively uncultured person in India and in many parts of the world, even today, and in this country also, probably just a couple of generations ago, two or three generations ago, would have thought that this is very uncultured. And that's just one example, but that's very detrimental to any hopes of developing spiritual life, because it brings people into contact in a manner which is suitable for their entering into sinful life. There's no protection from, there's no cultural protection from fall down into sinful life. There's no cultural protection from karma, lust, which is the foremost enemy on the path of spiritual progress. And that's only one example. I mean, so it is quite noticeable for devotees who have spent time in India how, especially when you come to the West after being in India. You had that experience also? Just how long were you there? Just a short time. 1 month. Even after 1 month, the difference is quite noticeable. Our devotees, they need to learn more and practice more. I have to bring out my books and give instructions on all these things. But really, devotees, Prabhupada didn't harp on this, although sometimes he called his Western disciples mlechas for their behavior. So it is important. Therefore, we're encouraging here, in, at least in this festival, at least during this festival, at least dress like a Vaishnava, try to behave like a Vaishnava in these basic ways. Meantime, where's, we'll find out, Shiva. He's probably in the same illusion that I was in, that the seminar is supposed to be 5 o'clock to 6:30. But then I saw it's written up 4:30 to 6. So it's supposed to be Arati now. That's what I thought. And I thought my seminar was 5 to 6:30. But what is going on here? I didn't. But then I saw a printout saying, is it? I see. Okay, 30-minute break. Okay, all right. We can. Okay, all right, so we'll break now. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any comments, Leela Shukh Prabhu? Yes. Sitting there quietly. It's like Sarvabhauma said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we don't know whether you approve it, disapprove it. How to overcome lust. Jahi Shatrum Mahabaho Kama Rupa Durasadam. Overcome it, Krishna says, by knowing oneself to be superior to the body, the senses, and the mind. By understanding this, one should overcome lust. That's Krishna's formula given in Bhagavad Gita. A matter of knowledge and understanding. It's the big question. Big question. That's one answer. Then again, we find in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna also says that by getting a higher taste, we can overcome the lower taste. So both sides, positive and negative. We should try to cultivate a higher taste in Krishna consciousness and also philosophically understand that we are not the body, we're not the mind, we're not the senses, we're not even the material intelligence. And also, as I was saying, if there are certain cultural formulae which, if followed, help us to remain free from lust.